How now, brown cow? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hello and welcome to another microbrew episode of the Three Drinks In podcast. I'm your host, Vince, as always. Over there is Phil.
Hey.
There's Phil. I want to remind you that you can be looking for full episodes of Three Drinks In on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Google Play Store, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks in the search bar. You'll easily find us. You want to hit that subscribe button and leave us a rating or maybe even a review. That would be fantastic. You can find us on all the social medias. We are at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter. 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And questions, concerns, comments, complaints can be sent to 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. There you go. Less than a minute. Got it all. All right. So we are once again talking about Star Trek Discovery, Episode 6. How do you say it? Lethe?
Yeah, the River Lethe.
Lethe. Okay, that's what.
Right.
I think so. For those of you not up on your Greek mythology, it was a river in Hades, where if the souls of the dead drank from the river, then they would forget about their mortal lives. I have no idea what connection that has to what we saw.
Oh, it's Lethe.
Oh.
But I also still don't know what that has to do with anything. So maybe I'm too dumb to figure it out.
I'm starting to think that's possible. We're too stupid to figure it out. What'd you think of episode 6?
I can't tell if it's trying to do the episodic format or not. Like, this doesn't have much to do with what's gone on before. It was kind of random search and rescue mission. And it just happened to feature Michael Burnham. So it was like, oh, hit pause. We're doing something different today. And we're going to do this instead. And we're going to show Michael Burnham with, what's her name, Tilly?
Who had an entirely different personality in this episode.
Yeah, she wasn't quite so annoying and weird this time. She was just like outgoing.
Yeah,
she had, which is very different from half brain dead.
Yeah, I mean, she was really, she really kind of had like this pseudo, I don't want to say autistic, but sort of a spectrum-y social awkwardness. You know, that was sort of the core of the first few episodes of her character. And then here she's talking about the hot guy over there who, you know, they rescued off the Klingon ship, and, you know, much more engaging and not normal, but closer to it than what she was before.
Right. And then I can understand that the characters change. That's fine. She's supposed to be just Burnham's only friend. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like when you watch, now it's only been a few episodes, but when you watch seasons of Star Trek or any show, characters do tend to change a little bit over time. Odo was not the kind of character he was from the beginning until the end on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, but
like
that
it's dramatic.
It was 7 seasons versus, I don't know, 4 episodes.
Yeah. Well, yes. But you do notice there's a definite change, and then the way he looks as well. So
yeah. Oh well, yeah. No, they, you know, they adapt the makeup and things like that. And even, you know, there were short term changes that went on. But like whenever a character went through an awkward, sort of blunt change, like Janeway was accused of doing all the time, but like it was just because they were badly written. It was just an inconsistent character.
Yeah, I mean, Jadzia was that way as well.
Oh,
in which
God,
they were like, we don't even know who this character is. We haven't nailed it down yet. And but they have to get the show on the air. So they just start shooting, and then they sort of figure it out as they go. And that might be what's happening here. So I'll give them a little slack.
And they did that in those shows, you know, better, first of all. But also, when characters changed, they changed because they got an episode. You know, like they had a story that was about them. Whereas this was, in this episode, Tilly's different because Tilly needs to be different. You know, it's like in the last one, I was saying that everyone seemed kind of dumb all of a sudden. And you were like, yeah, because they needed to be dumb. Like, they needed to have Tilly introduce Michael to the lieutenant guy in an awkward kind of, you know, pseudo-sexual tension kind of way. She wouldn't have done that normally, but that's what they needed for her to do here. Mm-hmm. And it's bad writing. It's lazy writing. So,
what did you think about it?
Oh, I fucking hated it. I hated everything about it. I thought that, I mean, they're cripping shit from everywhere, and that's bothering me. Like the Vulcan that kills himself on Sarek's ship. That's a take.
But not before he has time to do a monologue.
Yeah. You know, they stole that from an episode of Enterprise. You know, when they go into the Expanse and they meet these religious fanatics who use their bodies as bombs by sticking something in their arm and turning themselves blue and then they explode. Like, they just stole that. So here you have a fanatical Vulcan sect who wants to do the same thing because Sarek is embracing, you know, humans or other people over Vulcans. And okay, fine. So that's dumb. The whole mind meld thing is, you know, they share a Katra because he saved her during a bombing when she was a kid, and now they can talk to each other telepathically over light years.
Yeah, and she's not, I mean, humans are not telepathic in any sense.
No.
and even in the real world, and in Star Trek, Vulcans are telepathic. Not highly telepathic now, just a little bit.
Yeah, no, they actually...
They can...
Good.
Yeah, they can share emotions and they can share thoughts and feelings, but they usually have to be, like, in the same room, and that's it. And it's voluntary, involuntary,
and it generally requires physical contact. It's an intimate thing. That's one of the things that made Vulcans so interesting over the years, was that, you know, especially in Enterprise, which it wasn't always the most interesting thing they talked about, but the idea that the Vulcans that Captain Archer knew didn't do mind melts, you know, and that was like, it was like a taboo thing, but it requires some kind of personal physical connection, and it's not so fucking lazy and casual like it is in this show. And it's just an excuse for people to, who are not in the same place, to talk to each other, and so they're rewriting a lot of stuff about this, that, and to what end, I don't know. Like, what does it matter if she can talk to Sarek? Like, they could have done the entire episode in terms of, like, the logistics of a search and rescue for Sarek in a nebula without all this nonsense with her trying to talk to his mind and having a little kung fu battle in a, you know, in a courtyard.
Well, because they're trying to get, I mean, the whole focus of the episode was about two things. One was the captain, and the other one was this, where why is their relationship so rocky? And you're supposed to just assume it's because she's human and he's Vulcan. And then they throw in the fact that it's Spock's father. And you don't see Spock, but everybody already knows who Spock is. So you just sort of assume that it's because he likes Spock more or something, or there's some sort of prejudice going on. And secret, you find out it's really because he chose Spock over her to go to this academy, and Spock didn't go, and the both of them got screwed out of going to the academy, and he feels bad about it. All right. Well, you learn this truth and they don't even talk about it at the end. So not much changes after that.
Yeah, well, my question is, who gives a rat's ass? Like, what does it have to do with anything?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, there's,
it's just more backstory to her.
And they're trying to show you how they're estranged, and of course they're estranged. He's a Vulcan. They don't have the same kind of connections as, you know, you're, that's standard. It's, you know, you're supposed to be estranged from Vulcans. Vulcans have a different way of thinking.
Yeah, it's more of her just constantly being upset and in pain, emotional distress and pain. And we know that about her already. Yeah. Several times now we've done this. So, I don't know. And what about the captain? All that stuff with his PTSD he has.
That would be great on a different television show. Mm-hmm. It's not good here, but it, you know.
I like that he got the admiral's pants off in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's not going to fall for that. He's a creep. Oh, she's going to fall for that. Okay.
I mean, I can see everything he does coming down the pike.
Mm.
Like, nothing he does is surprising. You know, they've set up this character, and at the end of this episode, you know, she gets, you know she's walking into a trap, because that's what you do. It's, they're Klingons. There's going to be a trap. It's not going to be as simple as that. You know, Sarah can't go, so they send her instead. And I knew she was going to get captured. I knew that they were going to tell, you know, Captain What's-His-Face about it, and he would have been like, let's not go get her, because she's on to me. And this is more important to me than anything else. And it doesn't work. Like, I don't like the fact that I can, that they're telegraphing all their moves. That's annoying. But also, somebody has to have an emotional, or rather a conscience. It can't be Michael, because she's the one going through a significant thing, whatever it is, and she's tortured about what she did. And like, they're setting her up for one thing where she's going to have to come and redeem herself, and in the eyes of herself and her crewmates and whomever, like, she's on some kind of a journey to atone for what she feels are her sins from the first two episodes of the season. There is no one guiding her to do this. You know, if that's going to be your main character, and that's not a bad idea to have the main character of your story be that on Star Trek. That would be interesting, because all the characters on the show generally have done that in the past. They've all developed and grown. And that was always a side story to whatever the episode was about. So it was a much less personal show in that regard. And in this case, they're making it a very personal show. That's fine. But she needs someone to help her do this. And you normally, that's the captain. And it's not in this case, because he's even more damaged than she is, to the point where he's extraordinarily dangerous. And so she's kind of muddling her way through this growth process that we're supposed to be observing, with no sort of compass and no rock, you know, no metaphor like that. There's no character helping her.
That's because there's not much of a crew. So who's, you know,
I don't know.
Who's,
I thought,
on
I see
ship?
Him walking around all the time.
I know, but yeah,
everyone's going somewhere.
I was thinking this the other day. Like, you know, what's the one thing that I actually really like about this show? Is that there are, like, announcements in the background. Like, yoga class was canceled this afternoon, and, you know, the commissary will be closing at 7 tonight because of the karaoke that's going on later. Like stupid announcements are happening in the background that makes the ship kind of feel more alive. I always thought you would hear more of that stuff on a ship full of, you know, 800 people or whatever.
It's
there's not some bulletin board we can all go check. So just blare it over the loudspeaker.
Yeah, it makes the ship seem more alive, busier, and which is funny because like on Enterprise, I mean on like Next Generation, it was super in the future, and you would just tap your comm badge and it sort of, if you think about the logistics of that, it doesn't make any sense. Because when you say, you tap your comm badge, you say, Captain Picard to Commander Riker. How does your comm badge know who you're contacting such that it sends a signal only to Commander Riker's comm badge?
Well, it's like Siri, you know, call home.
Well, but like, is there a delay then? And so a couple seconds later, Commander Riker's comm badge chirps, and then he taps it on, and then now you're linked up? Is that how it was just...
Yeah, they've always muddled that. Yeah.
And that's fine, because it's slick, and it looks cool, and you don't worry about it. On Enterprise, they didn't have those, so they either had the little handheld thing, or they had to go to the wall panel. And you presume that is being broadcast throughout the ship. So, like, right. Whoever to the captain, and he goes over and hits the button, captain here. No, but you never hear that, just and people are walking around casually.
Yeah, like, what if somebody accidentally picked up, or, like, I picked up when I was going to make my own call and I got you instead. Like, oh, get off the line, I'm trying to make a call. You know
the one episode of Next Generation where they did have that going on was in yesterday's Enterprise.
Yes,
they were constantly talking in the background about, you know, the battle drills and this and that. I mean, I hate that episode and I hate it more because people love it, but the production design on it was really, really great. Mm-hmm. You know, it just looked so different in that sense that like everything is just a little bit off from what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so that was the. That was one of the problems that, and I didn't know how to articulate it, but I felt it as well. And that I read somewhere online, you know, there are 100 people walking around in the background. Who are these people? And they don't ever talk to them. So all you ever see is the captain, Michael Burnham, Tilly, the commander sometimes, who everybody seems to enjoy, the tall, skinny guy. He's pretty good. Ugh. He does a good job. And then you have the guy in engineering. Who's a total asshole. Mm. And also, you don't ever go anywhere on this show. You're always on the ship. Mm-hmm. And when you're not on the ship, you're on the Klingon ship. And you see them in space, but they don't stop at any planets. They don't visit any people. It's just, you're constantly just, you're in the engine room, or you're in the captain's room, or you're in the science lab.
And that's a function of what the show is about. It's about this...
You know, what it's not about.
Well, no,
it feels so claustrophobic.
And by about, I mean the fact that, like, it's this, you know, way that they travel by basically beaming themselves all around the galaxy. That, by eliminating the journey, you know, we have to go save these guys. Like, the closest thing they came to that was, I guess that was two episodes ago, where they were trying to figure out how to use the spore drive without killing the tardigrade. And there was a race against the clock to figure that out before we have to make the jump to go save these people or go save the captain or whomever. But getting to a place, moving around, is part of what makes a show about people on a submarine kind of interesting, which is essentially what these things are. They're all trapped on a moving object. But you're right, it doesn't seem to go anywhere. And whenever it does, it's effortless. It's like, boom, there we are. We're here now. It sort of sucks all the tension out of the situation. So.
Well, and that's the idea, I guess. You know, like, that's their secret weapon, is that it's instantaneous. Well, it's too powerful. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And what did you think of... I was annoyed they didn't bring it up, but it was different in that the engineer now is a complete opposite of what he used to be like. It doesn't get mentioned that, oh, by the way, we use that guy to use this spore drive now instead of the actual fungus creature. But when they speak to him, his personality is completely 180 degrees different. He's happy. He's like, yeah, this is cool. Let's do it. You know, and no one notices this? The guy was a complete asshole.
Yeah, I caught like the first few seconds of the preview for next week, and it featured him yelling at somebody about something. So I imagine you'll get a lot of that, you know, explanation coming up. Yeah, no. Look,
I can understand how the captain and maybe Michael Burnham don't realize it, or they're like, okay, well maybe he's just in a good mood today. The guy has a gay lover on the ship. He's in a relationship, and they went to show us that. Does he not notice that the man is different now? So don't tell me no one's going to notice this.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say this show is absolutely garbage, and if you like it, you're stupid. my catchphrase has been for the last few weeks that I had some notes about, but I didn't even take notes because, like, this was just work for me. Mm. You know, and I hope you all appreciate it, people. But, like, this show is not fun to watch. It's not entertaining. I would rather be watching The Orville, which is better by leaps and bounds. But, like, yeah, it's just, and I keep seeing people, like, writing review, like, you know, blogs and this and that about it. And, oh, this was kind of cool. And no. You're all wrong. This is terrible. It's just not good. And you know who I keep thinking of is this guy, Matt Myra, who he's one of the three guys that founded the Nerdist podcast. And he has a show. I'm not sure where you find it, if it's on like a web show or a real show. But
yeah, I think it's a web show.
Yeah, it's called After Trek, and it's part of this little thing they have now to, you know, you take a show people like to watch, and then you do a show where you talk about the show you just saw. Chris Hardwick pioneered this with Talking Dead and Talking Bad. I'm not sure which one came out first, but it's the same thing for that. And he had pretty good nerd cred, you know. I don't know him personally, but I've heard him talk about Star Trek, and he has a lot of information about it from both a fanboy perspective and from a production point of view. And he really, you know, we don't have the same tastes. He seems to talk about the sci-fi shows a lot more, you know, all the Brendan Braga type shows. And then you and I are, you know, we have a different point of entry and level of interest for the specific episodes. But I guess he's just like in it because, like, hey, look, they're going to pay me to go on the internet and talk about this show. And he's fawning all over it. I'm like, don't you have any standards? Don't you see what they're doing? They're just, you know, it's not good. And B, it's kind of taking a big steamy dump on all the stuff that we grew up and based a lot of our pop culture interests on. And, you know, it's like all those, you know, conservative guys that joined up with Trump when he began to do well during the primaries. You know, like, where's your integrity, people? It's the same thing to me.
But, I mean, I actually want to listen just because I'm curious, because you're right. He's always been a huge, huge Star Trek fan and nerd, and he makes us look like amateurs. But you get a lot of the defense where it's like, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. I mean, is it the same timeline? Is it a reboot? Well, why don't they just come out and say it? Well, it's fine. You know, it's more Trek. What do you want? So I'd like to see how they twist themselves into knots to explain so many of these things. And someone I read the other day just said, look, we have a very middling sci-fi show and they slapped Star Trek over it. And that's what's getting people to watch. And people are starved for that, so the Star Trek fans will watch it. But right now, it's not a good science fiction television show.
No.
You know, like I keep seeing people like, maybe it's the Mirror Universe. If the Mirror Universe is your excuse to explain away bad stuff, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, what's the Mirror? Whenever you hear that, it's the Mirror Universe. What? It's like a little kid excuse.
Apparently, that's something that's going to show up, though. They're going to, you know, use that device at some point. That's the. I remember we posted a text exchange on our Instagram feed. You know where because but the, you know where I was telling you that, but and I only you know saw that because someone said, oh yeah, and they're going to do the mirror universe, which is why at the end of that episode the guy looks in the mirror kind of funny and he's actually you know 10 seconds behind everybody else. So maybe you're right about that because like the thing he mentioned in the teaser for next week was about we're on a 30-second delay. You have to listen to me, and I'm like, oh, maybe Phil was right about that. So I don't know what, but they are supposed to delve into the mirror universe at some point.
Oh, well, we got a whole nother season now.
Oh, yeah, they already renewed it.
Big news. They renewed it for another season. Yeah. And that's on them, because what are they? It's the same people? What do you think about that that new guy? Did you hear about the big brouhaha with him?
The new captain, I don't want to shave, or lieutenant, rather, I don't want to shave.
Yeah.
No, what's his deal? He'll...
That actor is the same actor who plays the Klingon who's with the white skin. And they tried to hide that fact off of IMDb and the credits.
Wait, hang on a minute. That actor is the same actor who plays the female Klingon?
No, no. The male Klingon with the white, pale skin.
Vok or Vok.
Yeah.
Same guy. Same guy.
Mm-hmm. So the hint is that he is a Klingon spy. So, you know.
This doesn't translate well for an audio format. I'm just staring blankly at my computer screen. Like,
I was going to say, yeah.
I don't know what to do with that.
Well, it could not be true. It could be true.
I mean,
so we'll see.
Let's just say that's true.
We'll table that for...
but hang on. I have a thought. if that's the case, if the guy playing Volk is actually this guy... And that's why, I mean, I can see their point in terms of like that. Like that's how this guy ended up, you know, unharmed in this little prison ship. And okay, fine. But you've just gone through tremendous pains to redesign everything about the Klingons, from the makeup to the prosthetics to the costumes. You're gonna pare all that down somehow. You just something about that bothers me. That like we're gonna do all this work to make them look so alien and so disgusting and so terrifying, and then we'll just peel all that down to make this guy human for a few episodes, and then they're gonna put it back.
Yeah, he's in disguise. What's the big?
The difference is that when they did that in that one episode of Deep Space Nine, where they had to go to the Klingon home. So they got Sisko and Odo and O'Brien to put on Klingon makeup. And it was kind of a funny wink and nod at the audience to say, isn't this great? These actors now get to wear these ridiculous outfits and all this crazy makeup. But you could sort of buy that Dr. Bashir in his cosmetic surgery kit would be able to transform you. The difference between humans and Klingons, you know, on its face wasn't that dramatic. You needed funny teeth, you needed the bumps on your forehead and some crazy hair, and you know that was like a funny nose, and that was it. These Klingons look so different from humans. Like they almost have no hair. They're all shiny and sweaty all the time. They're so much more physically different that it seems like it'd be a harder thing to do, and you wonder at that point once you've gone through that huge transformation from you know this version's Klingon to a human, you basically change your species. It seems from the balls down. Like it, I don't know.
But I don't understand why that bothers you. It's just a makeup. He's undercover, let's say.
It just seemed more plausible in the old shows, based on the kind of makeup designs that they were using, that you could conceivably have someone change their outward appearance to mimic that of a different species. But because the makeup design is so much more dramatically different from the human, it sort of feels less plausible to me.
You know? This is the same ship that runs on intergalactic microspores.
Yeah.
So whatever.
I mean,
that doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me so much in terms of, like, you know, the consistency with, you know, with the story. It just, as an audience member, I sort of have a hard time making that connection. It seems much more far-fetched to me than the same idea did 20 years ago with a different set of a different kind of makeup design. I know it's weird, but that's just kind of the reaction I have to that is, you know, like that I'm calling bullshit on that.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway.
All right. So on to the next one.
That's all the time we're giving to this episode. It's supposed to be a short one now, 30 minutes. So you got a little extra bonus, guys. It's free baseball for everybody. So. All right, as I said before, please look for full episodes of the Three Drinks In podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and TuneIn. Leave us a rating and a review. If you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can search for us the same way. We'd really appreciate that. Definitely the rating thing, for sure. We definitely need some of those. That'd be great. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, see you guys next time.
Yep, take care.